State Player here on 720 WGN. Chicago's very own Bob Newhart is one of the true kings of television, stand-up, and recorded comedy. But his regular guy approachability is signified by the simple salutation, "Hi, Bob." Now, if you can believe it, the original Bob Newhart show ended 40 years ago this year. And what are we celebrating today? Well, Bob was born in 1929, the very beginnings of the Depression, and he swears he had nothing to do with it whatsoever. He turns 89 this Wednesday, and this morning comedy icon Bob Newhart joins us once again. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Hi, yeah, 1929. That's what I did. Yeah.
That's what you did.
Actually, I was born, Dave. I was born in West Suburban Hospital.
Yeah.
So we lived right near Austin and Madison, mm-hmm. which is the dividing line between Oak Park and Chicago. But so I've been a Chicagoan, and they keep calling me an Oak Parker, and I was born there. But that's about it. And I'm very proud of being a Chicagoan.
You know what? I see you on Facebook all the time, and other people posting you've got your Chicago crowd out in Los Angeles, and they get together often for Cubs games.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, I love seeing that. You holding up the big W flag and all that good stuff.
That's right. And this, we're looking pretty good this year too.
We are looking pretty good.
I just took a look. Yeah, it's about, they're 4.5 out. I sent a message to the Cubs saying, I remember when DeRocher blew it. When the Cubs, he didn't blow it. The team blew it. But
right.
They were 8 games ahead, and they blew it. And thank God they're not going to do it this time. This is for real.
Yeah.
So they skipped a year, and now they're going to be, going back for the World Series. I was there once. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but my wife and I, Jenny, I was in Chicago doing a stand-up date, and I happened to have the afternoon off, or I came in a day early or whatever. So I went to the Cub ball game. And between the innings, these kids would run up, and they'd ask for my autograph. And I said, "Sure, yeah, just ask me during the break." And uh-huh. I'm like, "Okay, yeah,
that's cool."
So there are about 8 or 10 kids, and I signed, "What's your name? What's your name?" So now this is years later, and I'm doing the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and Richard Pryor's doing his show on NBC, and his guest is John Belushi. So I'm in the dressing room, and the knock at the door, and I open it up. It's John Belushi.
Wow.
And he said, "Hi, I'm John Belushi." I said, "Yeah, I know who you are, John. I admire your work. I think you're doing a wonderful job." He said, "Do you remember you went to a Cub ball game and a bunch of kids wanted your autograph?"
Out of here.
And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I was one of those kids."
Wow. Wow. How cool is that? And you're talking about 1978.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really the height of Saturday Night Live and John that show. You hosted, and I don't think people know this, you hosted The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, I think, 87 times.
And, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy. But long before even the Bob Newhart show, they were sort of grooming you to take Johnny's spot during one of his many disputes with the network.
Yeah, I didn't know exactly what was going on. They didn't tell me that was happening. I was being groomed along with some other people.
Sure,
I wasn't
sure.
The only one.
Yeah.
But the one thing they never asked me, because if they had asked me, I would have said, "No, thank you. You mean move back to New York? No, thank you.
Right.
I'd rather live in California with
sure.
my family and."
Yeah.
And I've done the show, and I know what a killer it is. And it's the toughest job in the world. I mean, you give up your life, really.
Yeah.
I remember Johnny was quoted one time as saying, if he had devoted as much time to his marriages as he did to the Tonight Show, he would still be married to his first wife.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure.
And it's a mistress, and... And boy, you got to take care of it. And I just didn't have the. I wasn't ready to give that up. The privacy and that goes with it.
Well, that's the ease of doing it 87 times and guest hosting, because you can just jump in and jump out, and have a couple of great nights.
You learn how to. You make mistakes, and you learn. you learn how to, you know, you learn not to make those mistakes. And yeah, it was a great training round. It was great for me because I would plug any personal appearances I had coming up. And you know, and I guess it was getting NBC said, you know, okay, like you say, 1978. He said, okay, we've had it with Johnny. He's not pulling that on us. He's not holding those up anymore. I think Johnny left in the
92.
So,
took him a long time
much
to get there.
We've had enough of him,
But when they were grooming you even for that, and you were, you know, were testing out and doing the Tonight Show in the early 70s, you had a, and people might not know this, but right after your success in the albums, you had a variety show, short-lived. You won an Emmy and a Peabody for that show. And
That's right.
What was the structure of that show? I've never seen an episode of it. I don't know if they exist out there somewhere, but what was it? I'm assuming there was some singing involved, some comedy, some skits.
It was I'd come out and do a monologue, and then we'd have like usually a girl singer or a guy singer or a guest. Yeah. Carl Reiner was one of our guests, and then we'd do a sketch. And Dan Sorkin, Danny was he was the announcer, you know, because he was largely responsible for my getting a recording contract.
Wow.
And Danny passed away a couple of years ago, but so we did that 1 year, and then quite frankly, I wasn't really very good in the sketches. I was very much at home in the monologue and talking on the telephone with people that don't exist, and I really wasn't very good in the sketches. And they wanted to they offered us a second year. We were on the bubble, and they had certain demands. One of them was that I had to replace the announcer, and I said no. Mm. He's the reason I'm here. I can't.
Yeah, right.
And plus the fact that I knew I wasn't very good in the sketches.
Well, I was going to say, you didn't really return to acting and to television. I mean, really to television for almost a decade. I mean, you did the Tonight Show. You did some hosting gigs there. Obviously, you kept doing stand-up and recording more albums and so forth. But it was really over a decade before you ended up doing the Bob Newhart Show. Did you feel like you needed to hone your craft a little bit more?
No. Well, no. Yeah, I think I realized that. It also was, you know, it was 1960. The album came out in 1960, and we did the Bob Newhart Show, not the variety show, but the, you know, with Susie. We did that in 72, so there were 12 years. And I was approached by my manager, said, would you want to be on television? And I was kind of tired of the road, you know, because I'm married, and I had I think at that point I had two kids, and I had Rob and Tim, and I wanted to have a normal life, you know.
Sure.
And this offered me the chance of to lead a pretty normal life. And you know, it was I was part of the killer lineup. I was part of All in the Family, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, us, and Carol Burnett.
An incredible night of television. And you think about that now, that was Saturday nights, and the networks couldn't give a damn about Saturday nights anymore.
Exactly. I know, it's dead.
It's dead. It's a dead night for television. We're talking to the legendary Bob Newhart, and there's more after a look at your morning traffic. WGN, and we're talking to the legendary Bob Newhart. We're talking about a little bit about the Bob Newhart Show. Can you believe it? Ended 40 years ago this year. One of the funniest television shows in history.
I didn't realize this was the 40th year, but it was great. It was great fun. It was you know, Susie and we had such a great cast, and we had great writing, and it was. We just had laughs.
You had such great chemistry with Suzanne Plachet, as we were talking about. I was watching the show on MeTV over the weekend, and it was really the bedroom scenes that I think were most memorable. Those kind of increased over time, over the seasons, but those moments you just kind of had together without the craziness of being at the office and your neighbors and everybody else, I think those were kind of some of those special moments of that show.
Yeah, you're right. They were special. And again, it was the writers. You know, that they just wrote. They wrote great scenes for us. When I started Newhart, the Vermont show, I told Mary Fran, I said, Mary, you know, you really have one of the toughest jobs in the world, because Susie and I had a chemistry, and you know, and they're going to compare you to Susie, and it's going to be tough. But yeah, Mary was up to it, and
it was a tremendous series.
But it was a special thing that. You can't create it; just happens, you know.
And that's true. How'd you come up with after being a psychiatrist? What you know you were going to do a new show. How did you come up with the lead character being an innkeeper? You just knew there'd be guests, there'd be other people to play off of. Like, what was your strategy there?
Well, I happened to be doing stand up in Seattle for a week at the Paramount Theater in Seattle. My wife and I were up there and. I was thinking of the things that, you know, that went into making the Bob Newhart show successful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had the home life, and then you had the office life, and the characters that you had to deal with. And, we were staying at a kind of a small hotel that was near the theater. And, Ginny and I were having lunch, and I was watching people come in, and as people check in, and then people that worked, at the hotel were having lunch. And I thought to myself, you know, that's kind of what made the other show work. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guests at the hotel are, they're people.
They're your patients.
They're my patients, and no matter what they say, they're, you know, they're right.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
No matter how crazy it is. So that was my patience.
Yeah.
And then the people working at the hotel was, of course, the people that, you know, at the Bob Newhart show, that worked in the, well, with Bob Hartley, the psychologist.
Well, and I saw you talking on video at the Paley Center, television center in Los Angeles, about the legacy of the show. And right, it was 8 very funny. I mean, I can name, you know, just a ton of episodes, you know, with the horse and all kinds of other stuff that were my favorites. But but the legacy of that show obviously is always and forever burnt in time is going to be that finale, because I don't think really in the history of television, I mean, you can talk about MASH and some other shows, but one that really just turn the tables on the audience. And I know this was your wife's idea, was the final finale of Newhart. Yeah.
Well, it was kind of to me. It was it was like Fawlty Towers. It was like Monty Python. It was to me. We were saying to the audience, it was like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, sure. Kind of. Oh, and the audience, they went along. They said, "Oh, okay, we see where you're going. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, yeah." It was more a tribute to the audience it was a tribute to their intelligence, and they knew exactly what we were doing, because when we did the show, the final show, and we hadn't really told anybody. I told the cast and obviously the writers, and the crew didn't know. The crew went to dinner and came back, and we said we added a scene, which was a scene with Susie and I. And they have what they call a floater, which is in front of the next scene,
right.
Because you don't want to distract from. So they had this floater in front of that set, the bedroom set, and they pulled that away, and now Susie and I aren't even, you know, we're in bed, but they don't know who it is, and they started applauding the set.
Oh yeah, recognizable from the very start.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'll never forget that reaction. That reaction was, you know,
spectacular. Yeah, but I must say, Suzanne's got a much deeper voice than you.
Yeah, I made that a rule that I would never work with an actress whose voice was lower than me.
And that's a good deal.
Mary's was higher than me.
Mary's was much higher, much higher.
Well, no matter how much I tried to get it deeper and deeper.
Was it going to work?
It still didn't work. With Susie, it didn't work.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you what. You could of course, get the whole Bob Newhart Show complete series box set and the Newhart box set available on DVD. Bob's original albums are streaming it on Amazon and iTunes. Always a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, buddy. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.